This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, celebrating Hug Your Cat Day, part one of my two-part interview with Dr. Marty Becker, America's veterinarian, homeless people and their pets, and how dogs expressed human love. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get to it.
Hey, did you hear that? What is that?
It's the bark heard round the world. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves, Francesca, Coco, and our newest little diva, Miss Olive. Miss Olive is the cute little Italian Greyhound rescue in the picture with the microphone. Thank you for joining us today as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Email us at doggydivashow@aol.com. That's doggydiva show@aol.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Listeners, I'd love to introduce you to PetPlate.com. They deliver freshly cooked human-grade dog food right to your door. I've been feeding PetPlate to my pup for the last 2 weeks, and it's perfect for my picky pup and perfect for me since I'm so busy. So if you want something super healthy, really tasty, and ready to serve, go to petplate.com/spot to get 30% off your first box. PetPlate.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show, and I am here with Monica Layton, and she is the owner, founder, president of Professional Pet Sitting, and she's here with our Pet Tip of the Week. Now, Monica, we have coming up a very important day. Though it's called the Doggy Diva Show, we love our felines out there. So can you tell us about Hug Your Cat Day?
Yes. So this is actually like one of the cutest unofficial holidays, but June 4th, so coming up in a couple of days, is National Hug Your Cat Day. So I thought that'd be really cute to kind of, you know, remind people of all of our pet owners out there. And I mean, you know, who doesn't need a reason to hug a cat? So, you know, it makes it a fun day. If your cats are not cuddlers, use the day to really, you know, just do something for your pet. Make sure, you know, it's a good day to check your vaccine status. Make sure your pets are up to date. Do you need anything for your cat? Does your cat need, you know, to be groomed or a day to, you know, brush out the cat? Or, you know, it's just a day to kind of, you know, check on your cat, make sure your cat is healthy, make sure your cat is happy, maybe get him a new scratching post or a new toy, something to kind of appreciate the bond that you have with your cat. Another thing that's really, really great is they do so many studies out there that equate our pets to, you know, helping us live stress-free lives and helping us, you know, to have a better well-being. And our pets really do offer that to us. And studies show that cat purring, for example, it helps reduce stress levels. It makes us feel calmer. It's actually really good for the cardiovascular system. So what better excuse than to, you know, love on your cat and listen to them purr than a Hug Your Cat Day. But I also want to remind people, it's also a good day for awareness. So let's say maybe you don't have a pet anymore, or your pet doesn't enjoy, you know, being loved on and cuddled, and, you know, some do not. It's perfect day to lend a hand, maybe volunteer at your local cat rescue, giving some, you know, pets in need of attention some love. Maybe drop off a bag of food or a, you know, container of litter at a local pet shelter. Anything you can do to bring awareness to our feline friends, you know, even make a donation in a cat's behalf. Those are all wonderful ways on how to celebrate the day as well. So, you know, take a moment, give a kitty some love and attention. And if you don't have a kitty to give love and attention to, consider, you know, making a donation or dropping off a supplies, because there's so many pets in need that are really, really sweet, wonderful pets. So anything we can do to celebrate them is greatly appreciated.
Well, thank you, because it is important to celebrate, and whether you are a cat parent or whether you want to be a cat parent, what a great day to adopt a cat. Or if you just want to make a donation or bring awareness and volunteer, what a great thing. So, Monica, thank you very much for bringing us all this great information about Hug Your Cat Day.
Thanks so much. Have a great week.
Coming up, a heartfelt conversation with America's veterinarian, Dr. Marty Becker. Stay with us.
What if you could protect the life of your cat with something so simple and affordable that you already use every day? Get ready for the evolution of kitty litter. It's Pretty Litter. Along with all the features you've come to expect from your kitty litter, Pretty Litter's patented and scientific formula will also monitor your cat's health and detect illnesses early while providing industry-leading odor control. Two kitty litters, same cat, same price. But there's one important difference. Pretty Litter reacts to your cat's waste by detecting health issues simply by changing color. And the key is that Pretty Litter detects these issues before your cat shows symptoms of physical illness or pain, likely saving you major dollars in vet bills while protecting the health of your cat. What do you think, little guy? Ready to switch litter? Pretty Litter. Colorful insight into your cat's health.
Go to prettylittercats.com/cat101 or use coupon code CAT101 to get 20% off your first subscription order.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Dr. Marty Becker, America's veterinarian, has spent his life working towards better health for pets and the people who love them. In recent years, his realization that it's impossible to provide pets physical well-being without equal focus on their emotional well-being led him to found Fear Free Initiative. Dr. Becker was the resident veterinary contributor on Good Morning America for 17 years. He serves as an adjunct professor at his alma mater, the Washington State College of Veterinary Medicine, and practices to this day at North Idaho Animal Hospital. And it is our pleasure. We are so happy to have him back as a guest to talk about his latest book, From Fearful to Fear Free, A Positive Program to Free Your Dog from Anxiety, Fears, and Phobias. And for those of us in the Gulf Coast, Florida, Texas, all of us down here, we need that because we're entering into our hurricane season, and we want to welcome back to the Doggy Diva Show.
Hi, friends. I'm sitting here in my North Idaho home. I feel like the multi-armed Vishnu or whatever the multi-armed Hindu deepest is. They've got three dogs and they want me to all pet them and rub them. I don't have enough hands.
That's so cute.
You ought to see it. Oh my gosh, I got them there. I call them my 16-pound doorbells. I used to get embarrassed when somebody, you know, I live very rural up in northern Idaho, and I used to get embarrassed when I'd be on a radio interview or be talking to somebody and somebody, you know, FedEx or UPS would come with something and they'd all bark, and now I just go, oh, there goes the 16-pound doorbells. And that can happen during this interview, by the way.
Oh, no, don't worry about it. I have my three in the studio with me, and if anybody happens to walk by, we have windows right down on the, you know, the floor level here. They're like, they'll bark. So we invite everyone in.
I have to give you a compliment, first of all. Congratulations on 15 years on air.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy you're on this show. Yes.
there's people that start, you know, and have a passion for it, but for whatever reason, you know, they're unable or unwilling to stay with it. So, you know, thank you for that. And two, I got to give you a compliment about pronouncing veterinarian. So almost everybody when I'm on an interview, almost everybody forgets the one symbol. They say veterinarian.
Yeah.
So that it's like veteran, you know. I even have to coach people that are new to the veterinary profession, as in people that are doing media. So they're veterinarians, and they say veterinarian. And so I don't know how you did it, but you're a unicorn.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, Chuck's laughing about that over there. Yeah, no, I, and it's such a very important profession. Good Lord, my veterinarians—they're part of our family almost.
You know, this is crazy. So you know, you're down there with, of course, professional sports teams and stadiums, you know.
Yeah.
Do you know there's only 60,000 veterinarians that practice companion animal medicine in the United States? There's
wow.
more attorneys in New York City than there are veterinarians in the United States. So just think of a big NFL stadium, 60,000
yeah.
veterinarians, 22,000 practices. And this is the part that's going to kill, it just kills me when I think of this. In 2016, the total spending on pets equaled one half of Amazon's revenues by comparison.
Wow.
So if you took Amazon's revenues 2016 versus all the spending on pets, it was one half in comparison to Amazon's. And last year, it was still 40% of all Amazon's revenues in comparison. 40% in comparison was, you know what I mean, if you
yes.
take the amount spent on pets everywhere. So it's a tremendous, and one of the few categories that's been growing, never stopped down 2008, 9, 10, 11, never. And so lots of interest, a lot of money flowing into it, and we're just blessed to be part of that change in a way that, you know, looks at the emotional well-being of animals.
Well, and that's one of the things I want to ask you about is, can you tell our listeners about the Fear Free initiative?
Well, I'm sitting up here, you know, I haven't seen you for a few years since I was down in Sarasota, so, you know, I joke that I'm running out of hair to do TV, you know. Nobody does the old comb-over anymore, so, you know, what you got. But I've been, you know, still had a, you know, syndicated column for 16 years, written my 25th book, still literally traveling more than ever. I was going to slow down. I'm 64 and live up here in the, you know, halfway up a mile high mountain on a horse ranch in northern Idaho. It's gorgeous up here. And I heard a veterinary behaviorist talking about fear and how fear was the worst thing a social species could experience and how it causes permanent damage to the brain, that those of us in the veterinary profession and other things like grooming and daycare were causing repeat severe psychological damage to pets by what we were doing or not doing, that behavior produces a physiologic response, so behavior is medicine, and so we were damaging these pets both emotionally and physically. And she did this masterful presentation of how pets develop maladaptive fear. You know, the first time they come in as a puppy, they're happy and wiggling, and, you know, we start making mistakes. Believe it or not, before the puppy even enters the hospital, if you take a dog and he's does what I call a happy poop, let's say he's out in your yard or you take him, you know, for a walk somewhere, and he's happy, and he takes a number two, and you put it in a Ziploc bag and throw it in the cooler. Then you go to a stressful place, taking a poop outside the veterinary hospital, mm-hmm. and you put that in the Ziploc bag and put it in the cooler. And you drive across town and pick out a select dog, any dog, and put them down. If the dog comes across the happy poop, they will come up to it, sniff it, sniff it, sniff it, and then usually mark over it with urine. If you come up to the ones done outside, they'll come about 3 feet away, maybe 2 feet, and then they flare away like they've hit a force field in Star Wars.
Wow, so that's interesting.
Yeah, there's fear pheromones. And then most male dogs urinate on a vertical surface outside the clinic, more fear pheromones. When you walk in a clinic, and this is good for your listeners just in general, 99.99% of us greet dogs wrong. We look them in the eye like, oh my gosh, what is it? Oh gosh, it's cute. Or even if it's, you know, what kind of dog is that? Even if it's an adult. Then we extend our hand, and then we try to reach down and pet it. All three of those things are wrong. So first of all, the dog smells you before you even see it. Two, by direct eye contact, is showing signs of aggression, not friendliness. And three, when you're reaching down, you're coming into a blind spot. Dogs see good laterally and down, but very poorly up. And most people think a dog's sight is better than ours. It's not true. They see motion very well, and that's why you want to go slow movements when you pet. But you don't even want to pet a dog on the top of the head or the top of or along the top of the back, side of the cheek, side of the chest, base of the tail. So anyway, what's happened is we went back to the board of veterinary behaviorists who've been talking about fear, anxiety, and stress for years, but most of us, myself included, thought of that as collateral damage, you know, like, you know, of course they're nervous, but we got to get them in and get them out. And then that grew into, so 59 boarded behaviorists of the 79 in the world, or 75 in the world are part of Fear Free. Animal handling experts, the head of animal cognition at Duke, Temple Grandin, medical experts, zoo experts that taught animals to present themselves for services. So we created an online training program to teach veterinary healthcare professionals how to look after the emotional well-being of animals. It's called fearfreepets.com, and within 3 months, we'll have had 60,000 people that have paid and gone through 9 hours of training. And then there's a public site called fearfreehappyhomes.com. And on fearfreepets.com, our tagline is taking the pet out of petrified, which I think almost everybody that's had a dog with thunderstorm phobias or 4th of July fireworks phobias or separation anxiety, or going to the vet knows about taking the pet out of petrified. And for Fear-Free Happy Homes, it's a helping pets live a happy, healthy, full life. So healthy is veterinary medicine, happy is fear-free, and full is enrichment activities. That's another deficit. Zoos do a better job of enrichment activities than most homes.
Another thought of yours that I really love and the way you present this is, you know how we usually say the calm before the storm? You've got the calm instead of the storm, and it's kind of the way you approach this whole thing. Can you tell us, how do animals become fearful? I mean, what is it instinctually, because there are so many different types of fears, how do they become fearful?
Well, I'll give an example. So let's say a puppy comes into the vet the first time, and even though we're making mistakes, its happiness overrides the number two outside and the number one on the vertical surface and the fear pheromones on the scale. But then we do this. You put it in a room, and nobody's dogs walk around on the counters or tables. I mean, maybe some do, but they're not on a counter or table at home. What do? We put them on the equivalent of a counter table, as exam table. And it's slippery, and it's cold, and it's elevated. And for cats, we have a new little cat here, a little kitten named Tally, and it's like having a three-year-old with ADHD and a chainsaw in our house right now. But what do we always do with Tally? Tally, get off the table. Tally, get off the counter. You have this whole log house, but please don't get on those. So what do you do when you take it to the vet hospital? You put it up on a counter. And then it's cold and slippery. And Temple Grandin, who's of the 250 people part of the Fear Free Advisory Group, is really the only person I think that is absolutely gifted from birth on insights in animals. And no animal, horse, cow, dog, zoo animal, likes a slippery surface. So you've got to give them something to have their footing. And so then we take their temperature, and they thought that, you know, was a one-way street till today. And then you look them in the eye. Veterinarians typically start looking at the front of the pet, and then work our way backwards. The stethoscope covered with fear pheromones. And so there's, you know, fear, 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 fear. Then we give them three bee stings in the form of vaccinations and put them down, and they literally haul ass out of there. From then on, they know which door they escape from. They think it's an escape door. And from then on, including the next time they come in, they will look at, sit by, lay by, lean towards the door that they get to go out of. You never walk in as a veterinarian or veterinary nurse in the door that you go into and have to push a pet out of the way. Well, literally until you do fear-free, then you have to. So it comes in the second set of shots, and it has even more fear, anxiety, and stress in response to the same set of circumstances until the third visit, until it has maladaptive fear. Now just you thinking about taking it to the vet, you getting out the carrier, you putting it in the car, you turning down this one street that they know leads to the vet. And here's one other thing that's really important to talk about here. Fear is caused by something painful or something disturbing. And this is why on a pet is literally like, if you think of a child, a grandchild, a nephew, a niece, a friend's children that are one or two, that's a pet. You can't describe why a procedure is necessary. So most of the time when people take pets to the vet, it's with something painful or else we're going to elicit pain through something we do. So they've been in a dog fight. The cat has an abscess. They have an ear that looks like a fire pit, you know, with infection. Their gums look like a flamethrower went across it and scorched their gums. They have arthritis. They have, they're blocked and can't urinate. So everything is painful. And they can't anticipate or expect the relief of pain even if it's moments away. So just like a child, if we were going to, they have, you know, a two-year-old's going to have tooth put in their ears. They can't explain why. A two-year-old gets a blood draw. We can't explain why that benefits them. So just like those children are dependent beings, are taken against their will for health care, the same thing with pets. But luckily, you know, through these experts, we've actually figured out a way to literally change it to where instead of having to drag the pet in the hospital, the pet will actually drag you in the veterinary hospital, because we figured out ways to remove or reduce the fear, anxiety, and stress triggers and increase things that the pet looks forward to, and number one being incredibly tasty treats.
That's part one of Susan Marie's interview with Dr. Marty Becker. Join us again next week to hear part two of this informative and interesting interview.
Hi, Doggy Diva Show listeners. Susan Marie here to take just a half a minute to let you know how much we appreciate your being with us every week to hear great dog tips you can use with your pet, some great stories about rescues, fostering, and some heartwarming stories about second chances for pets who are now in loving forever homes. Be sure to go to our website, thedoggydiva.com, to see pictures of Miss Olive and other dogs we talk about on the show and get to know us a little better. That's thedoggydiva.com, D-O-G-G-Y. We appreciate your feedback, too. Okay, let's get back to the show. Coming up, are you a business owner, emergency shelter operator, or just an individual wanting to help the homeless and their pets? We'll tell you how, next.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. CATTREETRAY.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Doggy Diva Show. We have someone very special with us today. Pets of the Homeless is the only national animal organization focused on feeding and providing emergency care to pets of the homeless people. And sometimes there's like a little bit of a lack of understanding or lack of awareness of what is actually important to the homeless. So we are so happy to have with us the founder of Pets for the Homeless, Genevieve Frederick. And Genevieve, welcome to the show. And the work you are doing is so astounding and so appreciative. I welcome you to our show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate this opportunity to let your listeners know a little bit about all of our programs.
Can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My background includes marketing, sales, and public relations. And I retired a few years ago, and then I got pretty bored. So I published a little book called Happy Tales, Hilarious, Helpful Hints for Dog Owners. And that book actually took me on a trip to New York City, and that's when I saw a homeless person with his dog on the street. And that image haunted me so much that I just couldn't grasp how he could take care of that dog when he couldn't take care of himself. So once I got back to Nevada, that's where our headquarters are, I started researching homeless and pets. And I talked to a lot of organizations, other nonprofits that work with the homeless. And it was an issue that no one was really addressing. Now, that was in 2016. So then by 2006. So by 2008, I had a nonprofit status from the IRS, and I had a board of directors, and I knew that I wanted to take this program nationally. It started out by Feeding These Pets, and that's our legal name, Feeding Pets of the Homeless, but we do business as Pets of the Homeless. So I started getting businesses to become donation sites across the country, and they would take those donations to food banks across the country. That food was distributed to low income as well as the homeless. And to date, they have distributed over 558 tons of pet food and supplies. So the organization quickly grew, and it evolved into not only the food, but emergency veterinary care for homeless, wellness clinics for homeless, and sleeping crates for homeless shelters. So those are our basic four programs. With emergency care and the wellness clinics, we've actually treated over 17,900 pets.
Wow.
Since in this last 10 years. It is growing so quickly as word of mouth and as donors find out about us, about homeless find out about us, businesses that want to join us, and then people that just want to volunteer.
That's why I felt it was so important to get you on, because I don't think that people understand it. Can you please share what the importance and the benefits is of pets to the homeless people?
You know, 60%, and I'm sure you know this, mm-hmm. of the American population have at least one pet in their household. And those pets provide a variety of benefits to all people, especially the homeless. Not only has science proven that pets are beneficial to your physical health, they're helpful for mental health as well. For the homeless, they provide unconditional love, comfort, warmth, security, and these animals are non-judgmental. So we know that these pets have, and we know that these pets have prevented suicides of homeless, because these are their family and they will do everything they can to keep that family unit together. So if your listeners want to know more about the subject of the human-animal bond, there is a website, and it's done by the Human-Animal Bond Research Institute. And people can go to that website. They've got some very insightful information on the benefits of having a pet. You know, it lowers your heart. It keeps you calm. Your blood pressure goes down. It makes you get out and do some walks with your animal. That responsibility of finding food and water for your pet if you're homeless gives that homeless person some purpose that they need to find shelter, food, and water.
Well, and that's what I'd like to get to next. We have a considerable homeless population here where I am. I do see them with their pets, and it's something that I feel is very important, because I know that it is, there's that bond between them and their pet, and you could see that it's a very close relationship that they have with them. How beneficial is it that the homeless have their pets, companions with them in the shelters? Because sometimes when we have weather, which we are going to go into hurricane season, and there's also, you know, sometimes it even gets cold here. I'm in Florida, and they try to bring the homeless people in off the streets. How important mm-hmm. is it to have them with them in the shelters?
Well, first of all, many homeless need that emotional security that their pets provide. Mm-hmm. Many of these people and the animals experience separation anxiety, so having their pets at their side keeps the pet and the human calmer. These pets are used to being with their owners 24/7, so by separating them, it causes some problems for both the animal and the human. Second all, it is our belief, and that's why we have this program in place, is that by allowing admission into a shelter with their pet, the homeless have a better opportunity to connect with a social worker that can help them get out of homelessness.
To get into the shelters, do the shelters require them to have their pets in crates, or how does that work?
You know, every shelter across the country is different. Most shelters don't even allow pets in because of building restrictions. The dog has to have proof of rabies. It has to be licensed. There's all kinds of rules that happen in shelters across the country. So, what we can do, and it's so important because the crates offer the pet a secure place, as well as keeping the other clients and the staff of these shelters safe. So if a pet is in that secure shelter, in that secure crate, alongside the bed of the homeless person, they're both going to be very safe. These pets are so loyal that they'll guard their owners with their life. So if a dog is barking or it's stressed and it's in that shelter, and it's in that kennel, then we suggest that they put a blanket over the crate, and that gives the animal some extra security with that homeless person right next to them. Because this is a new environment. They're used to being out on the streets, or they're used to being in an encampment where maybe they aren't leashed at all. So, this is going to be a new environment. They're going to be a little nervous about it. And when getting back to that, they'll protect their owners. In the last couple of weeks, we've had this incredibly disturbing phone calls from four different homeless people across the country that have had their dogs stabbed. Mm-hmm. And so we get them to an emergency hospital as quickly as possible. We were able to save three dogs. One, the stab wound was so bad that they just, it was impossible for the vet to save that animal. But it's important that the shelters allow these pets and the humans in, and they have to loosen up some of their rules so that they're allowed in, so that they can get the services that they need to get out of homelessness.
You have a program in place, let's just say, to get the dogs in, that sometimes they need proof of rabies shots, they need different paperwork to get into shelters or to be with their owner who happens to be homeless. That type of medical treatment is not always available. You have a program in place to help with that, don't you?
Well, we do, and that's through our wellness clinics. We sponsor wellness clinics across the country. So if we have a vet in that community that says, I'd like to do more because I know that Harvo, and there's so many diseases out there that these dogs in particular are more prone to get because they're on the streets. So they will set up a weekly, monthly, or, twice a year kind of a clinic where people can come and get a free exam and free vaccinations. And with that, then they get that rabies tag. So then that will allow them to get back in or to get into a shelter that has that as a requirement. Some of the shelters don't have that as a requirement. They're just happy to bring these people in so that they can help them. And by having them in these crates, there's not a possibility that the dog's going to bite somebody, that, it just makes everything more secure.
Well, and I agree. Even with us, with our hurricane, if we have to evacuate, we have to make sure we have our own crates. We have to, because the shelters you know, we're very fortunate to have pet friendly shelters around us, but, you know, you have to have your dog in a crate. For those that are operating shelters, and whether it be a homeless shelter or if someone wants to be able to make sure that these homeless can come in with their pets, which it's a very important thing. And again, for those that understand the human animal bond, it is an extremely important thing. How can the operators of these shelters obtain crates?
Well, it's a pretty easy process. All these shelters, homeless shelters, and churches that offer shelter to the homeless can contact us either by email or by phone, and we get some additional information because we need to know where we're going to drop ship, how many do they think they're going to need. These are collapsible metal crates, so they're easy to store. They're easy to clean after they've been used, and they become the property of that church or that homeless shelter. So once we get that information, then we drop ship these collapsible metal crates, and we pay for all the costs and the shipping. And it's because we have generous donors across the country that feel that this is one of our important programs.
Well, speaking of that, how can individuals and businesses get involved?
Well, individuals can help us by spreading our mission and or become a volunteer to recruit donation sites in their community so that there is plenty of pet food available to low-income and the homeless. Now, businesses can become a donation site, or they can donate a portion of the sales of their products or services to our organization. Now, businesses can also create a employee matching gift program naming pets of the homeless so that when that employee makes a donation, then their company matches it. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, if it wasn't for our donors, we would not be in business today. We wouldn't be able to have helped these 17,000 pets. And just so that your listeners know, 83% of every dollar that is donated to us goes to our programs. We don't accept any, you know, we don't get grants from the government. We are completely charitable, nonprofit, 501c3. And on our website, that is petsofthehomeless.org, it has a wealth of information for interested people, as well as for homeless and for donors. And people can call us at 775-841-7463.
Well, I have to tell you that this is such important information. As I said, we down here are going into hurricane season, but around the nation, this is something that is, I don't think a lot of people know about it, and I think that having you come on and explain the importance of this and incorporating that human-animal bond, which I believe all of my listeners are very in tune to, it's very important to have your message out there, because what you're doing is you're helping to feed these animals. You're also helping with the medical care, this very important idea of crating them so that the dogs having crates in your establishment so that the dogs can come in with their homeless, companion. I think that plus everything else that you do, it's just very important to get that out there, have the listeners be aware of it. Hopefully they'll share all this information, because it's something that is unique, and it is, and you're very passionate about it, I could tell. So I want to make sure that everybody is aware of it. And if you want to learn more, you can go to petsofthehomeless.org. And again, if you want to give any direct contact information out, if any, let's say, shelter owners or anyone wants to get in touch with you to help get some crates set up, or if any businesses want to make some donations or individuals want to make donations, is there any direct communication, an email address or something that they could go to?
Just on our website, there is plenty of information, and it's pretty easy to navigate. So the address is on there, our EIN number. My goal for this website was to be as transparent as possible. So when people go to the website, they can enter in their city and state, and they can see exactly what we have in that area. And then they can, if there's nothing in that area, that's when they need to jump in and say, I want to help.
Well, Genevieve, I hope that everyone listening goes on your site, finds a location near them, and if there isn't one, that they jump in to help, because this is something that's nationwide. It's something that's very important, and definitely paying it forward and working from the heart for the homeless who truly love their pets. That I commend you, and I thank you for what you're doing, and I thank you for being a guest on our show, and I also thank you for all that you're doing for the homeless and their pets. It's absolutely amazing, and I'm so happy that you got to come on and talk about it with us.
Thank you for your kind words.
Well, thank you, and we will be back in just a moment.
Have you ever seen a homeless person with a pet? Do you ever wonder how this person cares for their loved one? Pets of the Homeless is a national nonprofit organization that provides pet food and veterinary care for the pets of the homeless. Visit petsofthehomeless.org to find out about the many ways that you can help.
Coming up, human love expressed by a dog. Think about it. Stay tuned.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Now, you know how I love books about dogs and about pet parents. And, well, I think I found a book that has kind of like a different twist to it, and I think you're going to love it. The author, Deborah Finnerman, is an American writer, but she lives part-time in Paris. And the author has also written two historical novels set in France. In her latest book, You Lucky Dog, it's a humorous contemporary romance with a little bit of a twist, and it's definitely going to touch your heart. You Lucky Dog is a heartwarming story for animal lovers and all lovers. And today we want to welcome Deborah Finnerman, the author. Hey, Deborah, welcome to the Dougie Diva Show.
Hi, Susan Marie. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, our pleasure. You have such a diverse and an interesting background. Could you just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yes, sure. I'd love to. First of all, I love telling stories and writing, and it's just what makes my heart sing. And it's what I wanted to do ever since I can remember. So my career started as a journalist in L.A. I wrote for The Hollywood Reporter and some other publications. And then I had a sort of life change. I moved to New York, and I took a course at Christie's for art history. And then after that, I fell in love with France and the Impressionist artists. So my first book was about the Impressionist artist. It's called Mademoiselle Victorine. It was published by Random House a few years ago. And actually, I grew up in Northern California in a small town. And every year for my birthday, I said to my mom, could I have a dog for a present? And every year she would say, maybe, we'll see. And until I was about 11 years old, I believed it. And finally, I realized that that meant no. So I got my first dog when I was an adult. And that's the dog that the book is dedicated to, a Westie. And my second dog was actually from an animal shelter. I adopted her. Her name was Sally.
The little cover, the little Westie on the cover, is that based on your first dog, which would be...
Yes, it is.
Is that Frosty?
That's Frosty, yeah.
That's so cute. Yeah, because I love the cover. It's very cute. Aww, and very eye-catching.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, what was your inspiration for writing You Lucky Dog?
Well, years ago, my girlfriend and I were discussing how to find true love. You know, what girls always talk about. Mm-hmm. And she said, if only I could find a man who loves me unconditionally like my dog does, that's true love. And you know what? It got me thinking. It's true. Our dogs do love us unconditionally. They run to meet us when we walk in the door. And when we're sad, they, you know, can see it in their eyes. They just have empathy for us. And, you know, they're fun to be with. I take my dog everywhere.
That's
anyway,
like me,
so,
yeah.
You too? Right.
Yes.
So anyway, so I said to myself, what if, and you know, all good stories start with what if, and that was the inspiration really for this book.
You know, I don't want to give any disclosures, like give anything away, but it starts right from the beginning. You do know what's going on with the dog. The husband's Jake. Jake is the dog, and then Emma. I'll just explain it as unique. And so I just loved it. The little storyline that went with it was very inspiring. And it had like a little mystery and a little bit of a twist to it. So it's like, I like read it in one sitting. Yes, I read it because I kept wanting to say, okay, what's next? Okay, what's happening next? Okay, what's next? And it, and the ending was just so, it was a great book. You did a really good job. So can you tell the listeners a little bit about the premise, what an overview of You Lucky Dog is?
Sure, I'd love to. Okay, a guy dies and his soul goes into his wife's dog. So how do they continue life together? And by the way, he can speak. But who is he? Is he a dog or a man? And as you said, there's a surprise ending.
There's a couple of twists and throughout the book because I'm like, oh my, because of the way the dog behaves, he gives everybody kind of like an impression that he's this very intuitive little animal, and it kind of makes you look at your own pets and go, okay, could you? Are you?
Well, you know, Susan Marie, the premise where he's in a car crash and mm-hmm. that's how the man dies. I know that's really kind of, that is a tragedy. And I know it happened to you. Mm-hmm. You were in a terrible car crash,
yes,
right?
I was.
But you overcame adversity. And that really is what this guy does too. He overcomes this condition but in a funny way. That's really, I don't want to give too much away.
No,
either.
We can't give too much away because it's full of so many cute little twists and turns. And then, you know, it's very, 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 very good. But in talking about, you know, the accident, and of course, and I'm reading it and I'm going, ah, but what the blessing, and there's all kinds of blessings and little heartwarming, you know, little tweaks that come out of your story. Mine was, I have a dog, Olive, Miss Olive, and the reason she came to me was because I was in an accident. I was homebound, and she was healing. We adopted her. She was healing from cancer, had a leg removed, had all her teeth removed. And so the two of us were like recuperating together. And, you know, I went through years of physical therapy, and she kind of worked with me. And I'm telling you, it was like kismet. And I'm reading this story, and I'm going, you know, sometimes out of tragedy, the most beautiful thing can happen. And your book gave me that. I ended on such a high note because it was full of all of those little nuances. Can you tell us a little bit about the characters? Because I fell in love with the characters. Not let alone, I guess I fell in love with Jake the dog. And can you just tell us a little bit about the characters in the book?
Yeah, well, okay. First of all, Jake, the man, he is a young guy. He's a successful hedge fund manager. He's smart, and, you know, he seems to have it all until this tragedy strikes and he dies, only to wake up in a cute little dog's body. So he does overcome this adversity, but I try to do it through humor. And, okay, so Emma is his wife. She's young. She's in her 30s, and she loves her husband. She loves her dog, who's also called Jake, by the way. And she believes in true love, and she actually proves that true love does last forever, that it can't be stopped by death. And then Jake is the little dog who's based on my dog, Frosty, and most of his personality is really the personality of the man, Jake, in this little body.
I know, and it was so cute because, you know, I have friends that have Westies, and I'm picturing this little Westie doing what he does, because he was pretty resourceful, and he kind of blended into groups and kind of, it was, because she took him everywhere with her. It was cute the way the interaction was between not only her and him, but with him and other people. And again, I don't want to give anything away.
Oh, you know, it's funny because I had to sit and imagine, what would it be like to be so small, to be so short, and to have little legs and not be used to that? And it was really fun to write. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you could tell. And it, because it had that nice, it had a light feeling to it, but yet the storyline, whether you're a dog lover, of course, I love bringing books for my listeners that are dog lovers, but it's also if you're listening and you just want a cute little love story, oh my gosh, this is it. It's like for dog lovers and just for people who want to just read a cute light love story. This with a little twist of mystery and a little there's a little bit of everything in there. And yeah, and of course Emma is interested in the arts, so we get a nice inside view of the arts, which I love the arts, and I know that you're into the arts. So it was really great. It was very interesting. Now, your book, as I said, it had loss. Unfortunately, it had loss, but it had love. It had mystery, little twist here and there. And, you know, there was a lot packed into this cute little book that I just, like I said, I couldn't put it down. I read it in one sitting. And what would you like the reader to walk away with? What would you like them to get out of your story here, this cute little story?
That's a good question. Well, I think there are three things. Number one, that true love never dies. And not just love, romantic love, but love for a parent, love for a friend, an animal. And then number two, our identity isn't really in the body we inhabit, but in our soul, or our ego, if you prefer. And number three, you know, life is pretty wacky. We need to laugh more.
I agree with you there. And you know, in your book has, well, you know, in the beginning it's like kind of, it has this you're touched by a little bit of sadness there, but then you start to see things turn in the way they turn. It like fills your heart, like it's a very heartwarming story. So
Susan Marie, thank you. What a lovely thing to say.
Yeah,
thank
it is you. it was real. And of course, again, if you're probably a pet parent, you're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, this is so great. And if you're not, if you're just looking for a love story, there is this undying love that's in there. And there's other stuff that's in there too, that's cute for that hopeless romantic in all of us.
Yes. And you know, the bond that we have with animals, that goes back millennia.
Yeah.
Animals and men, I mean, and women have lived together for forever. And they've just, that bond is so special.
It is. It's special. And as I said, it like gets into your heart. And I know sometimes people refer to special dogs in our lives as heart dogs. And we do. We love all our dogs. But there are certain heart dogs in our life. And and Jake was definitely Emma's heart dog. And the way it all plays out, everyone's like, they're going to be like me. They're going to keep turning the page and going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. It was just so cute. So now, where can the listeners go to learn more about you? You had such a wonderful background, and you're an author and a writer, and you have so much that you had going on before you wrote Lucky Dog. Where can people go to learn more about you and Lucky Dog, and where to purchase Lucky Dog? Because the release is in June, and so we're right at the beginning of June right now, and I want everyone to be able to get Lucky Dog.
Well, first of all, they can just Google me, Deborah Finnerman, or I'd love them to visit my website, deborahfinnerman.com. And as you mentioned, the book is available on Amazon or other online outlets, and it'll be in bookstores too, starting in June. Oh, I hear someone in the background.
Oh, yeah, we have, like, everyone's like going, I want another book. Aww. I've got my little, they're all in the studio with me, my gang, aww, my peanut gallery over here.
You're divas.
So, well, and that's great. And your website, I loved your website. Your website was great. So I appreciated that. Yeah, and I want everyone to be able to read this, enjoy it. It's a great summer read. It's just a great read if you want to walk away with a good feeling and realize that true love really does exist, and it's good with your pet and with your significant other. So I thank you very much. I thank you for all of the, number one, thank you for being our guest. Thank you for all of the written work you've done. You've done such great work. And I'm also a Francophile, so I really love what you've done. And I totally am in love with you, Lucky Dog. So thank you what you've done to kind of take love and that permanent love that we have with our dogs and with our human companions and meld it all together and make it magic. So I thank you. I really enjoyed your book, and I know the listeners will. Again, the book is You, Lucky Dog, and it's by Deborah Finnerman. So, Deborah, thank you so very much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me. Love talking to you.
Love talking to you, too. Before we close today, Miss Olive and all of us at the Doggy Diva Show would like to thank you for sharing the past 15 years with us as we celebrate our 15-year anniversary. Thank you. We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our Doggy Divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's all for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more, go to our website, thedoggydiva.com. Also, find us on our Facebook page, The Doggy Diva Show, and tell your fellow dog lovers about it. Don't miss Susan Marie, Miss Olive, and the Doggy Divas right here for the next episode. See you again soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.